Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Rhino Ag. And today we're going to hear from IMCA stock car driver Joe Schmidt. We're also going to hear from Chad Meyer about the Dakota Mod Tour and events going on down at Hancock County Speedway and Kossuth County Speedway, along with more information about Rhino Ag from our friend Josh, right after a few words from our sponsor.
Mastel Brothers Trailer Service Incorporated has become the Upper Midwest's largest and most respected sales, service, and rental provider of all types of trailers to multiple industries, selling a comprehensive line of new and used trailers and parts from the most respected brands in the industry, as well as Mastel Brothers' own unique designs and offerings. Contact Mark Daniels at 651-639-9017 or visit mastelbrothers.com and browse through their website to learn more about their products and services.
Transform your garage into an extension of your home with a custom finished floor by Garage Force. No matter how you use your garage, Garage Force has you covered. American made. Backed by a lifetime warranty, our professionally installed industrial-grade coatings will protect your garage from anything life throws at it and makes cleanup a snap. More importantly, it's the unbelievable feeling you get each time you use your dream garage. Visit us online at GarageForce.com.
Call Todd at 651-387-9213. That's 651-387-9213.
You're coming out of turn four and heading to the checker flag. You can feel your engine pulling for all it's worth. Is it worthy of winning a championship? Hi, this is Corey at Byers Engine Service in Rochester. We spent decades building racing engines for some of the biggest names in Minnesota racing history, including Jason Cummins, national championship winning engine in 2017. If you want the confidence that you have a winning motor under the hood, then call us at Byers Engine Service in Rochester today at 507-282-5586. The rest of the car is up to you. We'll take care of the horsepower.
Hey, this is Mark Noble, and I have pulled racing trailers for many thousands of miles. My current hauler has a shocker hitch on it, and I immediately notice a difference in the first few miles. Shocker hitches are designed to prevent breakage and cracking on the tongue of your trailer and eliminate that bumpy and jerky ride. Shocker hitches also use an airbag design so you can adjust the air pressure for various loads. My good old buddy Bob Sagan personally stands behind every shocker hitch with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Contact Bob at Shocker Hitches today at 701-967-8577. That's 701-967-8577.
The Mastel Brothers Touring Series is an exciting new traveling non-wing sprint car series that is teamed up with the Wyndham-based National Sprint League to bring you an exciting, action-packed 14-race schedule across the area. Tracks include Jackson Motorplex, Chateau Speedway, Princeton Speedway, Ogilvie Raceway, and St. Croix Speedway. The series aims to grow non-wing sprint car racing in the Midwest and allows drivers to compete for the Touring Championship while also competing for the Jackson Motorplex NSL Championship. Find out how to partner with this great new series or see the full schedule on Facebook at Mastel Brothers Touring Series.
Extreme Powder Coating.
Have you ever wondered what to do with that worn-out patio furniture or railing? How about your trailers, brush guards, even your rims? Have Extreme Powder Coating sandblast your items to perfection and apply the most durable metal finishing in the industry. Custom powder coating colors are available. Looks like paint, acts like armor.
Extreme Powder Coating.
Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on the Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment, and I am joined by stock car driver Joe Schmidt. And Joe, you lived in St. Peter, Minnesota, and graduated from St. Peter High School. What were your very first memories of hot cars or racing back when you were growing up?
Well, my dad, on a sad note, left when I was about eight. And my mom had a girlfriend that lived in a housing addition real close to St. Peter Speedway. In fact, her sons got me when I would stay over there or play with them guys or whatever when I was like eight or nine. It's a sandy area, and they had a hole where the kids actually would go under the fence and go in and watch the races. That's how I got my addiction was to going to St. Peter Speedway as a young boy and actually crawling under the fence and watching just us boys.
You also went to school for auto mechanics in Mankato and began racing at Arlington Raceway. What do you remember about those very first nights at the racetrack as a driver?
Well, I actually started out in figure eight at Arlington. I was doing that at 15, 16 years old. That was a ball. I mean, we just had a blast. We were putting a two-post well-piped kind of cage and a half-inch plate steel that went from wheel well opening to wheel well opening on the driver's side. That was our protection. And that was a lot of fun. Did pretty well at that. And then I was also going to school and knew Brad Rezac, which is from the area, and actually went to Hutch Tech because I did a year at Mankato University's auto program, and then I transferred to Hutch Tech and to finish out my automotive program. And so I ended up being with Brad Rezac, and he had won multiple track champions and ship and stuff, so I kind of helped with him, and he kind of got the ball rolling for me, and I really took it on from there.
During that time when you first started racing, you got to see the modified start to develop and become what it is today. But those first modifieds, when you look back, they were pretty crude compared to the slick mods we see today.
Well, in my time, starting in probably 1984 or 5, I actually bought a limited late model from this Brad Rezac. It was a track champion car, yada, yada. Anyway, Arlington had that class, been having it for years and years, and all of a sudden I'd already bought the car, prepped it, got it ready, and I got a notice saying that they dropped the class that they're doing with soda modifieds. And I'm like, holy crap, what am I going to do? To try to help some of the people like myself that had these cars, they said we could take the fenders off and run these special tires, and we can run with them. Well, there was a few guys that actually had built specifically these Wasota modifieds, and so we had Sherman tanks against lightweight fast cars, so it was not a pretty sight. It was still fun to drive, but definitely was not a competitive car whatsoever to try to compete with those things.
How did you do with your red number 84 modified?
Once I got hooked up with Larry Weiland, and which was from Mankato, we developed a car in 87. I was pitting for Jeff Rux and working with Larry on building cars, and we built our first modified, and Jeff got killed. So we kind of went a little overboard on safety and different things on the race car, on the modified. And that was we called it the Sherman tank. It was definitely a modified, definitely looking modified, but a little overkill on some stuff. The aspects of the car made it a little too heavy, so it wasn't as competitive as we'd liked. And then after that, I really dived in on every chassis builder that was out there trying to develop our own, and then that's what I did after that. The following year, we came out with our own chassis, and come out of the box swinging on all cylinders, and slowly started to, with the help of Mark Noble, a couple different nights, and I kind of was in everybody's way a little bit, obviously like anybody starting out, but I was a fast learner, I thought, and figured things out and really started to do well and started winning races. So it was my first feature win was at Lansing Speedway, actually. Can't honestly tell you the year. I think it was 88 or 89, but definitely a highlight of my life to do that on racing, my first one.
2 years ago, I bought the hood off your modified at a fundraiser auction at the Kossuth County Racing and Ag Museum in Algona. And after the auction, you signed it and told me the story about the flap that you installed on the back of the scoop after a fire at Jackson. And that was a new safety feature that then became required by IMCA.
Yeah, I don't know the full story from IMCA, but there must have been other situations like what happened to me. I mean, I was Jackson Nationals racing, doing very well. I think it was a qualifying heat race. I was like either leading it or second or something like that. But anyway, all of a sudden, my helmet was getting a little wet. I was getting sprayed with a liquid. I didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden, the car just erupted and huge ball of fire. I literally could take my hand from the driver's cockpit and just move it to the right a little bit, and there was literally a torch tunnel of fire alongside of me, just flying all the way out the back of the car, and then some, probably a good 10 feet beyond it. So it was a very, very scary, freaky situation, and it ended up being the rear fuel bowl fitting come loose, and it was just spraying alcohol everywhere under the hood. And that tunnel, luckily, was just enough to my right that I didn't have that flame in my face, but I obviously was getting wet, and I pulled the car off to the side of the racetrack. It was still rolling. I'm a big boy, especially back then, and I didn't take the steering wheel off or my helmet or anything, and I was literally crawling out of the car, and actually the car was still rolling. I remember my hands hitting the ground trying to basically wheelbarrow it to get my feet unhooked from outside of the edge of the car, getting the heck out of there because this was so scary.
Joe, speaking of car safety, you really tested the limits of the safety features on a modified back in August of 2011 when you crashed at Brit.
Yeah, it's too bad you remembered that. That kind of ended my career. I actually had stopped racing in 2001 and took time to take my kids fishing, hunting, and enjoy lots of other things of family life and whatnot and stuff. And then I built a car in that 2001, actually. It was a car that I was racing and won a bunch of races with, and I sold it to a gentleman in Brit. He had raced it for a couple of years and then put it on jack stands, and it was parked until that 2011. I bought that car back from him and thought I'd go back out and play a little bit. And, I missed a worn trailing arm or something that broke in the rear end on hot laps, and I barrel rolled it off turn one. It was quite a ride.
You actually said you broke your helmet.
It broke a lot of stuff. It actually broke the four major posts of the cage. It shoved the cage over a good 12 inches. It kept landing on that driver's sidebar there every time it rolled, and so it cracked the helmet. And that's the amazing part, is I didn't get a concussion out of that situation. I was very fortunate, but I definitely, it took the crystals out of my ears. I had to go and get them reset and whatnot, so I had vertigo on and off for probably the next, it took a year before I finally got rid of that. So my wife said that I was not racing anymore.
Joe, you currently live in Ventura, Iowa, and run multiple businesses there. How did you end up in Iowa, and what are your businesses?
Well, the Iowa thing, basically, I wanted to salvage yard as I was growing up. It was something I always wanted to do, and I knew the Kaziski boys. I'd bought a trailer from them. I bought a cube bam from them, and it was the way to make some good money to be able to afford our fun, expensive sport. And I ended up meeting my wife, which at the time, Larry Weiland, the chassis builder in Mankato, actually had a sister that was like 18 years apart. And so they would come up there and see Larry and Terry Weiland at the shop, and I was staying near a permanent fixture there, building cars and working on stuff. And we got hooked up, and she's from Mason City, Iowa, and I was at the time, and still I think is, the number one dirt track racing state in the world, or in the United States. And so I definitely wanted to be a part of that.
And you are also the mayor of Ventura, Iowa. I think the very first mayor I've had on the Dirt Show.
Well, Ventura is a small community. Well, during the winter, it's probably only 700 and some people. During the summer, it's probably three times that. But it's a nice, fun thing to do. We have the marina here. We rent out a bait shop, and then we also do aquatic weed cutting on the lake, and then we do hoist installation and removal and repair. So, yeah, I've got my hands dipped in a lot of things on the water, but it's on the water, so it's definitely an enjoyable job to do, and I still love racing very much. My daughter is racing every week again now after having a baby, and any time that she's not racing, there's a weekend that I can play, well, then I play.
And the cool thing is she runs a stock car just like her dad.
Well, she started out as a stock car. I have raced a stock car back in the 90s for a couple different people just to try it, and when I was building cars, and my son wanted a modified, my daughter wanted a hobby stock, and the stock car was the happy medium. That's how that came about. And now she's been doing it since she was 15, and she's 24. So, and quite a ride so far. We've had a lot of fun.
Your daughter, Kelly, also married a race driver.
Yeah, he was a sport mod guy and a modified guy, back and forth. It was really good in sport mods, and now he wanted to conquer the modified thing. He didn't do as well quite a few years ago or whatever, and then now he's hell-bent to get a feature win in a modified, so he's working really diligently to try to do that. And the late model now, I think, has kind of been put to the sidelines here to focus on the modified, but we definitely are a racing family. My brother-in-law raced my stock car a couple times. His son races a stock car, and so it's definitely a family affair. We have a lot of fun. We've been in Boone the last couple of weeks, all racing together down there.
What is Boone like for your family? It must be like a family vacation and a family reunion all rolled into one.
Yeah, basically. It's Boone is hard on equipment, but we have a good time. I mean, we all show up down there, and my wife watches our grandbaby and Daniel's other son, Riker, which is four. And Rob and Kyle, myself and Kelly and Dan, and Dan's couple of his crew and whatnot. So, yeah, we have an awesome time. The only bad thing about Boone is you tear up a lot of crap.
Like many racers, you are also a hot rodder. It's hard to live on Clear Lake and not have a cool car to cruise around in. Talk about your red Chevelle and some of the other cool cars you've had over the years.
Well, the Chevelle actually was my son's. And that's a 69 Chevelle. I don't think I could ever sell that. It's his baby that we worked on together before he passed. So it's a neat little car. It was a deal where he got it when he was 14. We'd worked on it and did lots of stuff over the years. And then it had a small block Chevrolet in it. And he always begged me to put a big block in it. And then I said that we wouldn't do a big block until he turned 18. He obviously didn't make it that far. But once he would have turned 18, I did put a 454 big block in the car. So it's definitely a cruiser. It's got the power if you need it, but yet drives down the road nice and fun to drive. But my pride and joy that I had myself was a 69 Camaro convertible that my son actually helped me redo and do that one from the ground up and stuff. But since I've moved to Clear Lake, I don't have the space anymore, so I actually parted with that car and kept, obviously, my son's Chevelle. And then we've got a newer Camaro that my wife and I like to cruise in around the lake and stuff once in a while. So that's a lot of fun, too, when we're not racing.
Something I really miss is stock cars at Mason City. I always like to watch you. Any hope of getting that track going again?
Well, it's ironic that you've asked me that question. I literally was there yesterday. It has got quite a new track built inside of the old track. They're finally doing a lot of dirt work and stuff and everything. I literally drove my wife's Prius down on around the racetrack, and it ought to be a fun little bowl. You know, I grew up on racing on half miles, but the future of racing, you know, we don't have the car counts as much. Still, there's a lot of folks involved, but half-mile stuff, I mean, when you do get into a wreck, you know, it's really, really hard on equipment. It's not a little fender bender here or a spindle there. It's a lot of money to fix something that gets damaged on a half-mile because we're going so fast. Obviously, I still love the half-miles. I mean, I went to Fairmont here with the stock car a couple of times, and I actually almost got a feature win and led it 9 laps out of the 15 and screwed up on a restart because of my old fart inexperience. But it was a blast. And Mason City is going to come back. They're definitely working on it right now, and it's looking like it could be a really fun time.
That's great news. I was just thinking last Sunday night, man, I wish we could go down to Mason City tonight. And I'm sure you weren't setting any new track records with your wife's Prius on the track.
No, and it's a fairly new one. It's her first new car, so I had to be very careful what I was doing.
We saw you at Chateau Speedway. With all the rain, that track was really rough, but it didn't seem to affect you. You were really fast that night.
I had a blast. You know, big guys in a car, I think, or, you know, Kelly Schreirach runs a lot of left side weight. You know, I'm still a big dude. I've lost a bunch of weight, but I'm still 6'5", and I think that really helped keep the car on the ground. I mean, obviously we were up off the ground a few times, but it was a good time. That was really fast. I mean, the cars literally got off the ground, and you would buzz the tires, but as soon as you landed, there was so much traction it just shot you. So you needed to be buckled and tied into those new containment seats, which are really helpful. I don't know what it'd been like, you know, back in the old days where we didn't have the containment seats. Yeah, in that kind of a condition of a track, how rough it was, it would have really, really tossed us around. It'd been hard to drive and control the car in that situation.
Yeah, if you were in an old Banjo Matthews bucket seat with a lap belt, you would have been in trouble.
Yeah, even in my days of modifieds or whatever, just in a Kirky or whatever that just had the rib support and a little bit of the butt cheek sides and stuff. I can imagine what that would have been like just in one of those seats. So these containment seats are definitely a huge step in the direction of safety. They really do work. I never thought I'd be able to run one or use one, and I actually like it. You know, obviously you lose a little bit of peripheral vision with it, but you're not racing on the sides of you. You're racing in front of you. So you go to the front, that's the game of the game. So it works out really well.
A week after that Chateau Speedway race, we watched you at Fairmont. They were literally throwing yellow flags about every five laps to go out and pick up some more parts off that rough track. You even knocked the whole right side off your car, but yet you said you were having fun.
It was a crazy fun night, yeah. Yeah, everybody had all that rain that week, a couple of weeks, and I think that was Fairmont's opening night. Yeah, it was kind of a Baja, and I shot off with turn four and hit a big bump, and it threw the car kind of up and sideways, and I just kept my foot in it and slapped the wall and on full throttle, and yeah, it literally peeled the door and part of the quarter panel off the car.
Where can fans see you race the rest of the season, and if Mason City opens back up, will you be there?
We would definitely be back at Mason City. Yeah, we want to try that. I know they're still saying that Mason may open, that they want to try to get a couple of nights in before the end of the season just to test the track and make sure that everything is correct. So we're hoping that we can do that. For me to see me racing myself, I honestly can't predict anything. I probably be at Brit maybe on Thursday or Friday night of the night of 1,000 stars, 10,000 stars. I'm not sure yet. I'm more focused on my daughter, trying to get her up to the front. I really want that girl to win a feature. So the reason I got into a stock car is so that I can understand it more, be able to communicate with her more on what she needs to make the car faster, and it has definitely helped. So I'm just kind of on the sidelines myself. Unless there's a week that they've got something going on and I can go racing, then I will. Otherwise, it's more Kelly, 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 and that's my goal, is to get work with her as much as possible. I do want to race against her at least one night. I got to race against my son before he passed, so it's kind of a goal to race against her one of these nights here before the end of the season. We haven't figured that out yet. I don't have two trailers and two trucks to haul two cars, so that's kind of something we got to plan ahead quite a bit before that happens.
And as a father, I bet it was very scary when she took that wild ride last year in July at Hamilton County Speedway. I can't imagine what was going through your mind.
You know, I watched her roll a car right after our son's death in Brit. You know, I built the car. That car was the one that I built. I've been doing it for a long time, and I felt very confident in the car. Obviously, she took one heck of a ride. It was probably just as bad as my modified roll. So yeah, it was scary. I jumped out of UTV and shot out there. Luckily the car landed on its wheels. What wheels were on it anyway? But she was in the car just apologizing to me. I'm so sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, are you all right? She just kept apologizing that she wrecked the car. So when she said that, I knew she was okay. She was more disgusted over the whole deal than anything. But she did get her bell rung a little bit, and I was real impressed. I was worried that I was going to lose her from racing. And she got back in the saddle the following week or two, I think it was, and ran right up there with him. And she raced Algona on a Thursday and got fourth that night. And so I was like, woohoo, we're back in the game. So yeah, I'm having a ball with them guys.
It sounds like it, Joe. You're a very proud papa, and I can't wait to see you racing out at a track near us. I know we love to see you down at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa, and also at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona. So hopefully we'll see you around that area, and thank you for taking the time to be with us today here on The Dirt Show.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully maybe we can even get to Fairmont. It's definitely an old stopping grounds track for me, and just like Arlington, I want to try to get to Arlington too sometime. But I appreciate it very much, and glad to tell the story, and hopefully your listeners enjoyed it.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum Salute to Champion A.J. Foyt exhibit is currently on display inside the museum through October 1st. Stop by the museum anytime, 7 days a week, to see the real, authentic race cars that A.J. Foyt drove during his illustrious career, including two of the Indy Roadsters he raced during the Indy 500. Plus, we'll have Salute to Champion A.J. Foyt commemorative posters and T-shirts available inside our museum store, plus a full-length video on A.J. Foyt's career playing in our second-floor movie theater. Also, while you're with us, check out all of the new 2019 Sprint Car T-shirts and merchandise inside our museum store. That's our Salute to Champion A.J. Foyt exhibit on display now at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. And don't forget to visit winazz6corvette.com for your chance to win a brand new torch red 2019 Z06 Corvette, which will be given away Saturday night, August 10th, during this year's NOS Energy Drink Knoxville Nationals.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers Car Care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Fast Shafts has been producing drive shafts for late models, modifieds, dirt trucks, stock cars, and hobby stocks since 1992. Fast Shafts, the official drive shaft for the US MTS and USRA, and title sponsors for the IMCA Fast Shafts All-Star Race and IMCA Super Nationals, support the sport of circle track racing throughout the USA. To get the power from your motor to the tires, run with a proven winner today with the number one choice in carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shafts. Call Fast Shafts today, made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Ever wondered what a rhino would cost? Go to rhinoag.com and click the Build Your Rhino tab under the Born to Lead text. Select a product and spec it out with any option we offer. And always contact your local dealer for any finance specials or seasonal offers at rhinoag.com. Rhino Ag is excited to announce their sponsorship of Jimmy Owens for the 2019 Lucas Oil Late Model Series. Follow Jimmy on Facebook at Jimmy Owens Racing Updates or online at JimmyOwens20.com.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact: Aero Racing wheels can be seen on dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact: Aero Racing wheels have become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact: The Aero 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy NASCAR, Xfinity, and Gander Outdoors Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see AeroRacingWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
VP Racing Fuels is a world leader in performance fuel technology. That includes VP Small Engine Fuel, the perfect fuel for your two- and four-cycle gas-powered tools, including chainsaws, generators, trimmers, blowers, and more. VP Small Engine Fuel is blended with no ethanol, ensuring easier starts, worry-free long-term storage with fewer repairs. And the two-cycle blend is pre-mixed with oil, so there's no measuring, no mixing, no mess. Just pour it in and start it up. Learn more about VP Small Engine Fuel at vp-sef.com.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by track announcer Chad Meyer. And Chad, we missed you last Thursday night on the microphone, but you were on the road announcing the Dakota Mod Tour. That has to be really cool to see some new tracks and some new drivers in a different area.
Well, it certainly was. Probably put close to 1,900 miles on my car to make that tour, and it was certainly an honor to be asked to be one of the announcers, Corey Litton and I. Corey's from North Dakota, and certainly was a privilege for both of us to be asked to do the tour. And it was great seeing new tracks. It was even better meeting all kinds of new people at every stop, every speedway. They were glad to have us there. The people were just amazing, and it was also great to get reconnected with a few of the drivers that perhaps either have raced in this area or chatted with at Super Nationals or something over the years. So, yeah, it was a great time.
What tracks were you at, and how did it come out?
So the tour starts in Jamestown, North Dakota, then heads to the Nodak Speedway, which is in Minot, also home of the North Dakota State Fair. So that was just an amazing facility that we were at there. They were all great facilities, but the one in Minot, they sunk in something like $14 million over the last years just in the grandstand alone, just a fabulous place. Then we went to Estevan, Saskatchewan, to their speedway. Then we came back to Williston, North Dakota, and ultimately had rain. They had like 4 to 6 inches of rain, something like that day, and got rained out at Williston. But we were able to head to Southwest Speedway in Dickinson, and then we wrapped up in Mandan at the Dakota Speedway. And so they raced stock cars and modifieds. In stock cars, it was largely the Ricky Thornton Jr. show. He won Jamestown. Sleepy Eye Minnesota's Matt Speckman won at the Nodak Speedway. Then Ricky Thornton winning at Estevan and then at Dickinson. And probably the most exciting stock car race we had was the Dakota Speedway in Mandan the last night of the tour. There was probably no less than five drivers at one point over the last five laps battling for the lead. And it was ultimately Dalton Florey, a past champion of the tour, was able to get past Ricky Thornton and others in a pretty dramatic ending to that one. So you had Dalton Florey out of North Dakota winning the last night of the tour. And then as far as points, it was Ricky Thornton Jr. winning the stock car portion. He made history being the first driver to be a past modified Dakota Tour champion and then now becoming a stock car champion. He won by 6 over Dalton Florey, Matt Speckman, Austin Doe, and boy, the guy that is the perennial favorite on that tour didn't win a race, which was Elijah Zevenbergen, and he ultimately finished 5th in points. And then from an IMC modified perspective, it's largely come down to a couple drivers, but Hunter Marriott finally had something to say at the last stop. Tom Berry Jr., some will remember him from a couple years. He lived in Iowa. He now lives out in Newburgh, North Dakota. So he won Jamestown in dominating fashion the first night. Then it was Ricky Thornton Jr. winning the next three. So he won at Nodak Speedway, won at Estevan, and then won at Dickinson. And then it was Hunter Marriott, who's won the last three championships in a row as far as series titles. Finally, it was Mandan when he got in victory lane. And from a point title perspective, Tom Berry Jr. was able to win by 17 over Ricky Thornton. Hunter Marriott was third. Then Jason Hughes and Jeff Taylor were the top five in points. Heading into the final night, you had Tom Berry Jr. leading by 14. So he had a decent margin, but you had Ricky Thornton starting row one or two. And you had Tom Berry just a little ahead of mid-pack on the initial start. But ultimately, Tom Berry was able to get 5th in the A main. And fortunately, Ricky Thornton sliding back to 8th. And so Tom Berry Jr., it was really cool to see a new modified champion on the tour. He really got things done. There was a couple nights, the second and third night, he was buried pretty deep in the field and rallied late to finish second both of those nights, and that's pretty much what helped get him in position for the tour. So, and it was announced, the owner of Cooper Chevrolet, who helps put on the tour, they are absolutely committed to getting the car counts back up. We averaged 50 to 60 modifieds and probably 20 to 25 stock cars, which was down a little bit over the last couple years, and they've announced they're going to double the purse. So look for pretty big things on the Dakota Tour next year. And it was, man, it was a lot of fun. People are great, and racing was really good, too.
Chad, coming up at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa, a couple of great races. It's hard to believe we're already talking August racing. August 1st and August 3rd, you got a couple of great events down there.
Yeah, August 1st is the second annual Denny Hovengate Memorial. Denny, as many people know, I mean, he raced all over the Midwest and was a dominating force in southern Minnesota and northwest, north central Iowa for sure, and obviously many other tracks as well. Passing away a year ago last spring, so second annual Denny Hovengay Memorial. That'll be on Thursday, the fair, looking forward to honoring one of the legends, and Thursday racing at Algona is pretty special in his own right, and certainly during the fair ramps things up a bit. And then the annual Gary Harkin Memorial plus Hall of Fame night will take place on Saturday, August 3rd. So we have one night a year that we race on Saturdays like we used to, and it's during the fair, and I believe we've got the six-foot trophies up for grabs both nights. Kossuth County Fair races in Algona, certainly one of the more special nights of the year. We have other nights that maybe pay a little bit more money, but people certainly do get excited for racing during the Kossuth County Fair here in Algona.
Chad, I know we will be there both of those nights. And then also coming up at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa, is the Night of 1,000 Stars and Night of 10,000 Stars.
Absolutely. So August 8th, 9th, and 10th, we kind of lump them all together and call them our Knights of Stars. The granddaddy of them all, the one with the most prestige, is certainly the Thursday night, August 8th event, Night of 10,000 Stars. Like I said, is our marquee event at the Hancock County Speedway. And ironically enough, you know, there's probably a little bit more prestige with winning the Night of 1,000 Stars. The highest paying night is actually August 9th, which is Friday night. That is Night of 10,000 Stars. I'm just getting back in the groove here from being gone on the Dakota Tour, and I know they announced the pay structure. I think it's around $7,000 to win for modifieds on the second night, meaning August 9th for 10,000 stars. And then August 10th on Saturday, we race Saturday night also. That'll be the Bob Schrock Memorial All-Stars event. And each one certainly is very well-paying show, individual shows for modifieds. And, of course, all the classes of cars running. It's a big night to win. I mean, even your stock car and sport mod drivers and hobby stock drivers, they want to win on the 1,000 Stars weekend, even if their purse isn't dramatically different. The prestige that goes along with winning either the 1,000 Stars, 10,000 Stars, or All Stars is a really big deal, and certainly want race fans to come join us. It's always a big night, and look forward to it.
And Chad, we want to encourage fans, if they have not made it down to Kossuth County Speedway in Algona or Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa, by the time we reach mid-August, those two tracks will be closed for the season, so get down there now.
Well, you're right. We kind of, all of us struggled along trying to get ourselves so we can actually get some racing in. We've been pretty fortunate in our area. We've had a few rainouts at those two speedways, but we've done a good job of getting as many in as we can. But yeah, we're mid-July, and in a month, regular action around here pretty well is going to be wrapped up.
And this week's guest, Joe Schmidt, what a great driver and what a great person. He's got a big heart.
Well, he absolutely does. Known Joe a long time. He's raced for a long time. Obviously, he's taken some years off till he's got back behind the wheel now. But there's been a couple different parts of Joe Schmidt's career, and he certainly has had success. And it's hard to tell which he's having more fun today doing, whether it's being able to be behind the wheel of a IMCA stock car from time to time or helping field cars for his daughter, Kelly. Many would remember Kelly Schmidt as a stock car driver. She's now married. Last name is Kelly Drury. And there's been a handful of nights, like last year, that she was close to picking up that first career IMCA stock car win. She has certainly elevated her game, and obviously it's hard to tell which Joe is having more fun at, driving the backup car on occasion or helping his daughter field the car as well. He's certainly having a lot of fun.
Chad, thanks for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show, and welcome back. I'm sure you're going to sleep very well for the next few nights.
Yeah, it was it's almost kind of like, it's a lot like doing Super Nationals in Boone. You look forward to a day or two of getting caught up on sleep. But the schedule around here is pretty intense. We've got the Dirt Nights Tour make stops upcoming at both Britt and Algona. So if you're in the mood, we got a lot of racing from here till mid-August, I should say.
Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Why does Jake Hagopian, USAC National Mini Sprint Champion, use Walker Performance Filtration Systems?
Our relationship with Walker Performance started in the process of developing a filter for the MicroSprint ranks across the board with so many different styles of engines and injection setups. It was real easy to work closely with Ben Walker and his team to develop the best scenario for MicroSprint races across the country.
See WalkerPerformanceFiltration.com or call them at 818-252-7788.
Working at my job, going all day long. Don't want to go and mow my lawn. Picking up the phone book, and what do I see? I see Wolf and Sons can do it for me. Dandelions, I don't want to stray. Free estimates are coming your way. Don't hesitate and learn about more. Call 455-3524.
And if you have some really big outside jobs, Wolf & Sons has the dump trucks, loaders, and graders you need to haul in driveway gravel, black dirt, and clear building sites.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miner's Outdoor.
Miner's Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna total source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miner's Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miner's Outdoor, Major Tough.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Only Powerlift has been building hydraulic doors continuously since 1992, longer than anyone else in the industry. Only Powerlift provides local manufacturing, sales, and service throughout North America, giving you confidence in knowing we will always be there when and where you need us. Only Powerlift installs each and every door, making your project hassle-free from start to finish. Only Powerlift has the best warranty in the industry, so what hydraulic door should you buy? Only Powerlift. Contact us today at 507-374-9306.
Welcome back to our special segment brought to you by Rhino Ag, and I'm joined by Josh. And it's summertime here in Minnesota, and if people need to get fence lines put in or old fence lines replaced, you have a couple of great products to do that and do it quickly. Let's talk about the PTO-driven auger first.
So the benefit is, as with most people that have anything that's PTO driven, it's just simple. It's simple power, it's easy, you're not having to add any attachments like a bucket hookup or anything else. You can mount it straight to your PTO and your three-point on the back of your tractor, and you're letting the tractor in its best position do all of the work for you.
You also have a hydraulic-driven auger. What are the benefits of that particular product?
With a lot of fast-paced lifestyles where fence builders or guys with large ranches are going out and trying to knock out a lot, they're typically using a skid steer or a high-horsepower tractor that's got additional hydraulics. And having the ability to mount that to the front bucket or have an actual plate mount to the front of a skid steer just makes it simpler and faster for the operator to run down a string line and drill a bunch of holes and get a lot of fence in quickly.
Josh, the other benefit to both of these products is they're built by Rhino Ag, because you know and I know, whether you've got a hired hand out on the farm or you're a landscaper or a business owner and other people are using your equipment, if they abuse it, it's built by Rhino. It's made to last.
Well, the beauty is anything that's got the Rhino brand stamped to the side of it just gives everyone a peace of mind that you're getting quality tested, quality built products that are going to last you a long time, and it's backed by the Rhino brand. So you know you've got a warranty and a tech service group that's going to stand behind it.
And also, if they want to see both of these products in use side by side in videos so they can make a decision on which one works best for them, they can go on rhinoag.com and look those up.
Yep, rhinoag.com, that's rhinoag.com. We've got links on there to both Facebook and YouTube, and you can pretty much go to YouTube and search any of the Rhino products. Just simply type in the name, the model you're looking for, and whether it's ourselves, an influencer, or a valued customer, you'll be able to find many videos to show you the benefits of a Rhino product.
Summertime's here. If you got some tough jobs to get done, check out all of the Rhino products and you'll get them done quickly. Right, Josh?
That's correct. We appreciate everybody tuning into the show and checking out all the Rhino products. And by all means, if there's anything we can do, don't hesitate to let us know.
Thanks for being with us today.
As always, thank you, Clay. Napa Know
How. This month at Napa, when you buy a 5-quart jug of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $24.99, we're making a donation to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which means your purchase makes a difference. So do some good and get a 5-quart jug of Valvoline Full Synthetic for just $24.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 7/31/19.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse. Cookies is the
one. A few years ago, I hit a deer with my van on the freeway. Wow, what an impact. Thankfully, no one in the vehicle was injured. When we pulled over and got out to check the damage, I could not believe the amount of destruction. Right away, I called Bob at Midwest Collision. That is one of the best decisions I have ever made. Not only did he assure me that everything would be taken care of, Bob and his staff followed through with their promise. If you ever need collision repair, please call Midwest Collision today at 332-2434.
Dreyer and Grain Handling Equipment Owners, International Steel Erectors, and NASCO Equipment are now scheduling preventative maintenance jobs to prepare you for a smoother fall harvest. Our experienced crews will do a pre-season checkup on your grain legs, conveyors, air systems, augers, and other related equipment. Our dryer service program consists of checking augers, bearings, chains, belts, gas lines, gear oil, and cleaning the burner to ensure easy startups when harvest time is upon us. Call us at International Steel Erectors or NASCO Equipment today at 507-451-3448.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies Sauces and Seasonings.
We were at Kossuth County Speedway last Thursday night, July 11th. In the A Modified, it was Nick Meyer over Kelly Shryock in the Sport Mods. What a great race. Colby Fett over Matthew Loaf in the Hobby Stocks. Cody Nielsen over his brother Brandon Nielsen in the Sport Compacts. Devin Jones over Nate Koopman. And in the Stock Cars, it was Chad Palmer in a epic battle over Derek Green. They were also racing at KRA Speedway in Wilmer, Minnesota in A Modifieds, Don Eichens over Justin A-Strike. In the B Modified, Shane Sabraski over Tim Canton. In the Mod 4s, Keith Thell over Jamie Flicklinger. In the Pure Stocks, Joe Martin over Tyler Garberich. In the Sport Compacts, Justin Skalitsky over Corey Merworth. And in the Super Stocks, Sean Fernks over Jacob Knapper. Last Friday night, July 12th, they were racing at I-94 Speedway in the A-Modified A-Main. Jeremy Nelson over Landon Atkinson. In the B-Modifieds, Cody Lee over Corey Stork. In the Economy Late Models, Ben Wolden over Ryan Mickelson. In the Hornets, Daniel Harstead over Casey Stramick. And in the Street Stocks, Dave Moss over Corey Dykoff. Chateau Speedway in Lansing, Minnesota was also racing last Friday night, July 12th. In the Outlaw Mini Mod A Main, Logan Brown over Nathan Kilwine. In the B Modifieds, Ryan Gergen over Ryan Wettstein. In the Pier Stocks, Michael Wick over Jake Moss. In the Sport Compacts, Justin Skalitsky over Jerry Koopman. In the Street Stocks, Zach Elward over Ken Adams. And in the USRA B Mods, Noah Grinstead over Caden Kath. And in the Modified A Main, Jason Cummins over Brandon Davis. Mississippi Thunder Speedway in Fountain City, Wisconsin was also racing last Friday night, July 12th. In the Slingshots, Gavin Bartell over Mason Stockhausen. In the Mini Mods, Kyle Jumbeck over Dan Nasulki. In the USRA B Mods, Flying Ryan Olson over Colby Mann in the USRA Hobby Stocks. Travis Krause over Nicholas Schwabach. In the USRA Late Models, Alex Williamson over Lance Hofer. And in the USRA Modifieds, Rodney Sanders over Dustin Sorensen. Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa was also racing last Friday night, July 12th. In a 20-lap A-Modified A-Main, Nick Meyer over Jeremy Mills. In the Sport Mods, Josh Appel over Alec Fett. In the Hobby Stocks, Brandon Nielsen over Tony Schmidt. In the Sport Compacts, Jaden Lang over Sam Umbarger. And in the Stock Cars, David Wickman over Kelly Shryock. Jackson Motorplex was also racing last Friday night, July 12th. In the 305 Wing Sprints, Elliot Amdahl over Caleb Johnson. In the 360 non-wing sprint cars, it was Brandon Halverson over Johnny Parsons III. And in the 360 wing sprint car division, Lee Gross over Trey Starks. Last Saturday night, the ARCA Series was back in Minnesota at Elko Speedway. Chandler Smith taking the checkered flag in front of a near-capacity crowd. Arlington Raceway was also racing last Saturday night, July 13th. In the IMCA Hobby Stock A-Main, Corey Probst over Andrew Latour. In the Sport Compacts, Gavin Moss over Alex Dostal. In the Sport Mods, Kevin Kirk over Jason Playman. In the Karts, Braxton Enter, Jeremy Reimers, Logan Kotasek, and Travis DeVries all taking checkered flags. In the Modified A-Main, Dan Menk over Dalton Meggers. In the Outlaw Hobby, Dakota Robinson over Roger Genegas. In the Sprint Cars, it was Brandon Allen over Michael Stein. And in the Stock Cars, Matt Speckman over Chad Schroeder. Madison Speedway was also racing last Saturday night, July 13th. In the 20-lap Modified A-Main, Chad Olson over Justin A-Strike. In the B-Modified A-Main, Kyle Dykoff over Derek Reck. In the Economy Late Models, Jordan Talaxson over Jim Brockman. In the Sport Compacts, Lucas Christians over Brent Engler. In the Stock Cars, Henry Hacker over Josiah Martin. In the Street Stocks, Ross Biersick over Eric Riley, and in the Super Stocks, Ryan Flatten over Trevor Nelson. Fairmont Raceway in Fairmont, Minnesota was also racing last Saturday night, July 13th. In the A-Modified A-Main, Brandon Beckendorf over Aaron Crone. In the B-Modifieds, Matthew Loaf over Jared Baumeister. In the Hobby Stocks, Matt Hansen over Malik Sampson. In the Sport Compacts, Nate Koopman over Bubba Brown. And in the Stock Cars, Jeff Larson over Luke Sadoff. We were at Deer Creek Speedway last Saturday night, July 13th, for Christmas in July. In a B-Modified A-Main, Calvin Iverson over Dan Wheeler. In the Street Stocks, Danny Richards over Dustin Doty. In the Super Stocks, Neil Eckhart over Brandon Duelman. In the USRA B-Modifieds, Jim Chisholm over Brandon Hare. And in the USRA Modifieds, Brandon Davis over Jason Cummins. They were also racing at Viking Speedway in Alexandria last Saturday night, July 13th, in the A-Modifieds, Blake Jetfig over Danny Bayer. In the B-Modifieds, Justin Froming over Shane Howell. And in the Dirt Late Models, it was Don Shaw over Cole Schill. Last Saturday night at Knoxville Raceway, they had two 410 wing sprint car A-Mains with a makeup feature. Kerry Madsen wins A-Main number one, and Brian Brown cashes in for $5,000, winning A-Main number two. Clint Garner wins in the 360s. Matthew Stelzer wins the Wing Pro Series sprint car race. And in the Dirt Trucks, Miles Mitchell over Jeff Johnson. Ogilvy Raceway was also racing last Saturday night, July 13th. In the Super Stock 30-lap A-Main, Tim Johnson over Dave Moss, and the World Outlaw Late Models were on hand, with the A-Main going to Shane Clanton over Brandon Shepard. Granite City Speedway was also racing last Sunday, July 14th. In the A-Modified A-Main, JT Johnson over Dave Kane. In the B-Modifieds, Mark Martini over Zach Benson. In the Mod 4s, Keith Thell over Justin Pagonis. In the Sport Compacts, Corey Merworth over Nate Servatni. And in the Super Stocks, Dave Moss over Kevin Burdick.
The difference between a Hitchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hitchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hitchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety, and Hitchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit along with friendly personal service. Hitchman, why settle for anything less?
Happy 80th birthday to my friend Sharon West.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.